There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Pleased now to welcome to the studio Daniel Richards, Senior Economist at Emirates NBD, for our regular Sunday morning sesh. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. Now, on Thursday, the Bank of England said the UK economy has hit a temporary soft patch and kept interest rates on hold at 0.5%. Now, hitting a soft patch sounds more like something you'd hear off-roading in the UAE desert than at a BOE policy announcement. Explain the soft patch reference in economic terms. What does it mean?
Sure. So, it was just a few months ago that this meeting was being looked upon as a dead cert for a hike. But as we approached the meet on Thursday, it was pretty unanimous that it would be held. And that's, in fact, what happened at 0.5%. A number of factors were cited. Key amongst these was a weak Q1 growth, so I guess that's the soft patch reference. Growth was only 1.1% when it had expected 0.4% expansion. Poor weather has been cited as one of the factors behind this. Of course, we had the beast from the east, which curtailed consumption and construction activity in particular, but also there are other factors. So inflation fell more rapidly than expected. Consumer spending has been weaker than expected. So generally, the guidance given a few months ago didn't really hold out.
What about Brexit then? I mean, the government has had three policy defeats recently on Brexit, and the latest being in the House of Lords last week. I mean, would you as an economist expect it to have seen greater clarity at this stage? And we're, Brexit minus 1 year at the moment?
Well, one might have thought they'd worked through all these potential scenarios before we got to this point. Granted, one of the factors cited in the Bank of England's MPC communique last week was Brexit uncertainties, and that will certainly continue to weigh on the economy, given that we don't appear to have any greater clarity as yet. As you mentioned, another defeat in the Lords for the withdrawal bill last week. There's a number of defeats there now, and there's still really, even amongst the cabinet, there's no unanimous decision backing behind any one policy for customs.
Well, this is the problem, isn't it? I mean, you know, the customer partnership, Max Fac plans, no two politicians in the UK seem to agree on anything. We've got sort of even the ministers being outspoken but in different directions. I mean, what are you picking up from all this? Do you think the government actually knows what's going on?
Precisely. So we have the two working groups meeting this week to discuss the two favoured plans, custom partnership, which is favoured by Theresa May, Prime Minister, and then the Max Fac, as you mentioned, maximum facilitation, which is a more technological driven. But even the people working on the working groups aren't necessarily behind that policy. Now, these were meant to come back on Tuesday, but I don't expect we're going to see that happen, and indeed I don't think we're going to see the withdrawal bill come back to Parliament before recess comes in the next couple of weeks.
Well, I guess that you're in a better position to sort of, you know, work out what sterling rates might be for the rest of the year than the average person listening to the programme, especially if they're British and want to send money home. What is your expectation for sterling? I mean, is it as weak as it's going to get for the year, or do you think, you know, as if this sort of dithering around sort of continues, do you think sterling could weaken considerably?
I think we can't rule anything out. If there's a particularly egregious setback in the Brexit negotiations, then clearly it could weaken further. But I think it's come off quite a lot this week, this last couple of weeks. I think it'll remain steady around this level. There wasn't a great deal of change when rates were held last week. It had been widely expected, and well, it did dip to a 4-month low. It wasn't a big move.
One of the stories that caught my attention over the weekend, and it really put a smile on my face, was Egypt. It had an upgrade from Standard & Poor's. I know you were looking at this, Daniel. So much has happened in the Egyptian economy over the past 18 months or so, and there have been some tough times. But this was a real vote of confidence, wasn't it, in the Egyptian economy? Tell us what happened. Just recap the facts of what S&P did and tell us why it's significant.
Yes, as you say, Egypt's come a long way in the past 12 months or so since it embarked on its reform programme in November 2016. And this really underlines the progress they've made there. So they were upgraded from B- to B with an outlook stable, and that really is a vote of confidence in what's been going on in Egypt. Most recent data we had out last week was when inflation fell to 13.1 from 13.3 the previous month. Not a huge dip, but considerably less than the 33% it peaked at in the middle of last year.
So looking at some of the things that Egypt can do going forward to help build on this, we've got tourism, obviously, it's the one we think of most of all, but other things as well, manufacturing now that they have a weaker currency against the US dollar. Surely Egyptian exports of anything from food to cars to clothing become more competitive.
Yeah, so more competitive currency is certainly helping in the Egyptian economy. We've seen a huge rebalancing, and net exports are now positive for growth rather than negative for the first time in quite a long time. So now they really need to capitalise this and start producing more manufactured goods, which will in turn provide more employment, which is really key issue in Egypt over the next few years. Can they provide enough jobs for all these people entering the labour market?
Iraq, elections taking place over the last few days, Nouri al-Maliki claiming a lead. We're looking forward to some extra stability out of Iraq. It's been 4 years, I think, since the last election there. What are you picking up on? What's the outlook?
Quite a positive outlook, I think. It remains to be seen what the end results will be, and it's quite likely that no one will get a majority, meaning that it will lead to a period of horse trading between parties. But our most likely scenario, I think, is that Haider al-Abadi will return for a second term. He's riding high, quite popular on the back of the ISIS defeat, and also the way he handled the Kurdish referendum at the end of last year as well. Some time to wait, I think, before we see the end results and what the next government will be, but I think that's the most likely scenario, and that in turn will be quite positive for stability. He's regarded well by the West, and that will entail greater investment, which they sorely need.
I mean, you don't need to be an economist to know that the higher oil prices we've seen recently are going to be good news for the Iraqi economy. But what state is it in, both in terms of the energy economics, but also the non-oil economy?
Well, it needs, as you say, the higher oil prices are definitely a boon, and they are able to increase production given the wells that were offline over the last several years. The non-oil economy is struggling, there's no doubt, but we do expect that the construction sector in particular should boost this. There's huge reconstruction efforts that need to be done in the wake of the ISIS defeat, and with greater political security, this should follow.
Any plans for you to go up there? I mean, I'm sure as an economist you'd like to go and sort of experience firsthand what the situation is.
Yeah, I'd actually love to, but there's no plans. There's no plans as yet.
Let's cross to Europe. Italy election in March. The results, as often happens in Italy, has sort of been a stalemate. With some sort of horse trading going on at the moment. What's the latest?
Yeah, so the latest, the two leaders of the two populist parties, that's for League, La Lega and Five Star, have been locked in negotiations. They had gone through a period of trading insults, saying they wouldn't enter into government with each other, but now it looks like they're getting closer to an agreement. They've got agreements on policies such as immigration, pensions reforms, universal basic income, but remains to be seen who will be prime minister, and both of them are quite keen. We've also had yesterday a new development in that Silvio Berlusconi, who had previously been banned from being prime minister again, given his convictions, has now been allowed by a court to be prime minister once again, so we can't even rule that out.
Is that, a likelihood or not?
Not at present with the two populist parties talking, I think. He has been in a coalition, a centre-right coalition with the League, his Forza Italia, which actually has now broken apart as the League entered into negotiations with Five Star. So I don't think it's really on the cards at the moment, but not to be ruled out, perhaps.
We're moving into Ramadan in 2 or 3 days' time, and what are your outlooks for the region, for the UAE over the summer?
Well, hopefully the PMIs will pick up. We do expect PMIs have remained solidly above 50, but it has dipped down since the end of last year, and we've also seen a great deal of price discounting to maintain that level. So we do expect this will pick up over the remainder of 2018.
Obviously, we have a fixed rate to the US dollar. How much do you think the sort of fortunes of the US dollar over the next 6 months is going to affect us?
Well, it could weigh on growth, certainly. Mm. Given a stronger dollar, it makes it more expensive to come here, to come and spend your money here, to buy things here. So we still have to recognise that the dollar index is a ways off where it was 12 months ago or so. It did weaken significantly. So even in the past month or so of it strengthening strongly, it still remains fairly competitive compared to levels a few years ago.
Well, Dan, thanks very much for coming in. Daniel Richards, Senior Economist at Emirates NBD. As always, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Pleasure.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.